Hey, grandkids, welcome back to another aggression, oh my god, edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is your fumbling host, Kevin. Luckily, we have the better teller commentator on the other line, Mr. Dusty Giebank. Dusty, how you doing?
Is aggression like a Todd Grisham edition?
I suppose.
Okay.
So we could have a generic, I could do generic play-by-play that is at least marginally more informative and less yucky than Michael Cole.
Mediocrity is smiled upon in WWE.
What was that?
Mediocrity.
Yeah. I don't know why I missed that first. That first word threw me off. I didn't hear it for some reason. That really is sad that the mediocre play-by-play guy is probably their best play-by-play guy.
Yeah, and he is too, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
like Josh Moore, but.
Yeah, is it just me with Josh, or does he, like, not fill in enough now for Byron Scott or whatever his name is?
That's a good call. Awkward silence.
Yeah, like, I kind of understand letting the action speak for itself sometimes, and maybe they don't need to be yammering quite as much as they need to be, but some of the times it feels like he should be saying something in there, and he just doesn't. Like, come on, you don't have Stryker there just filling up airtime all the time. You got to do a little more heavy lifting now.
I think it's really obvious when Josh isn't comfortable with somebody. I think that's the downfall there with him.
Okay, because I didn't hear him. Did he do? Was he doing Heat or something like that? The online stuff maybe before he started doing ECW.
Possibly.
I thought he announced something. I couldn't. I can't remember what it was. But yeah, I guess that's what
I'm announcer of Velocity. If that's what you're talking about.
Velocity. That was what I was looking for.
I don't know what he did online, but yeah, he was the Velocity host pretty much all the time. And when you put him with somebody like, you know, Ernest the Cat Miller, who would just tell stupid jokes the whole time, you know, Josh seemed pretty comfortable, you know, letting Ernest fill in all the gaps. But in a situation where he has to carry the load and fill the gaps himself, I don't know if he's really comfortable yet.
Okay, yeah, I guess that's what I was trying to get to, because I really don't I really didn't watch Velocity all that much, so I was not sure. Because I knew a lot of people liked him on that program, but
yeah,
I just did not really hear it. So, alrighty. Well, that was an unexpected start to things.
Indeed.
But, you know, I don't know if I have a decent segue, but I guess I do. Going from mediocre announcers to bad announcers in the other league. Actually, the man that hosted the big segment, the big announcement, is actually a good announcer for the UFC, Joe Rogan. He got to introduce Hulk Hogan, who then introduced the UFC audience and the Spike audience for no shocking reason whatsoever to the fact that TNA Impact will be going head-to-head against the WWE's Raw starting January the 4th. We talked about this earlier today. We feel like this announcement got made like 3 weeks ago for some reason. It was just this past Saturday. I'm like, wow, like, I feel like, yeah, it's just really weird. I don't know why I feel that way, but it just does seem to be that way.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about the whole announcement was Joe Rogan's face while Hogan was talking. He looked like a little kid, you know, like, oh my God, it's the Hulkster kind of thing. So.
Oh, see, I did not actually end up going back to watch it at all.
Okay. I just got a kick out of that.
Okay. Maybe I'll do that just to see the look on his face. I mean, the guy is a legend, no matter whether you think of him as a hack, terrible,
yeah,
or, you know, one way or the other. Like, you've got to be going, that's fucking Hulk Hogan, you know, that you're next to. I mean, that guy's far more well-known than a damn many people on this planet. So, I mean, he's obviously done something right.
Mm-hmm. So, he probably gets people marking out for him every day, you know, go to the grocery store, you know, whatever. It's, oh my God, you're Hulk Hogan, you know.
Yeah. That would be, oh my God, and that was, I guess, another one that, another minor topic that we could skip over if we wanted to or not, but, anywho, I suppose we should really get to the, maybe this is the reason why it feels like it's been weeks since we've heard this announcement. How quickly did you think that this was an awful idea?
Oh my God, dude. Going head-to-head against Monday Night Raw. Let me put this in perspective. Nitro worked because there was legitimate reason to think WCW was on the upswing. They had big-name guys like Hogan and Savage and Flair, and they had great young guys like Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and the Cruiserweights and the Mexicans and blah, blah, blah. And while nobody thought that they were going to beat Raw in the ratings, it was at least plausible that they could make a dent in Raw's ratings. TNA has nothing going for them whatsoever. And no intelligent human being alive thinks that there's any chance that they will make a dent in Raw's ratings. At all.
Yeah, I guess that was another... I just don't see how they make a dent. Like, the only upside that I could see out of this whole thing, really, is the fact that at least they should, more viewers, in a sense, should be available soon because the NFL is wrapping up.
Yeah.
So that segment of Monday Night fans. Now, I mean, I don't think Raw has really... I don't think that rating's changed since football's been on, really. Maybe it's gone up a couple of tenths or something like that, or down a couple of tenths. But it's been pretty steady. Like, wrestling just isn't talked about that much. And, I mean, and that was the other thing. Not only was WCW in the upswing, like, that was right when the Monday Night Wars started. It was right when Jeremy got me back into wrestling.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, like, overall, like, I had just started to watch the WWE again, too, or, well, the F then, but, so, like, in general, it's kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know, it was something new, wrestling as an entire whole really isn't doing that well right now.
No, they have nothing new to say, either. The Monday Night Wars gave us something new and fresh. Nobody is saying anything new and fresh right now.
The six-sided ring won't be new and fresh for the Monday Night audience?
They're going to look at it and laugh and change the channel. That's my opinion.
But I'm racist, aren't
I? I'm so racist. Lyndon Walker, you fucking idiot. Jesus Christ.
Wow, when did that happen?
What?
That you turned racist on me.
I guess it's a late-breaking thing. I don't know. But apparently not liking a six-sided ring makes you racist, even though that makes no sense whatsoever.
I'm not particularly fond of it because it, and you know, I wanted to do something on this, and I've never been able to find the information on it because TNA doesn't give out the size of their ring.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it looks smaller, doesn't it?
It looks smaller. And not only that, I mean, just think of it size-wise. Like, even if the sides of it are, like, and now I saw, because online I saw that the WWE ring is 20 by 20.
Okay.
But Ross has recently mentioned in his blog that it was 18 by 18.
Right.
So, I don't know which one's right. I don't really care.
No.
But even if the TNA ring is the same size, you know, the two sides that are horizontal instead of angular, if they're both 18 foot apart, you're still missing a large chunk of ring.
Exactly.
You know,
Even if it's technically the same, it's not.
Right.
It's just automatically at a loss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that. I tried to get Powell or Keller to get the answer for me, but both of those fucking knuckleheads couldn't get it. Powell kept on forgetting to ask, although at least I commend him for trying. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, that cuts off a lot of space that I always have a problem because the tags always seem way too close, especially when you get anything beyond a regular tag match.
I found myself thinking that this past Thursday watching Impact. There's no heat for tags now because it doesn't look improbable. They're just right on top of your partner.
Yeah, that's really my biggest problem. There just is not enough space when you make a six-sided ring. Like, they really need something that's larger. And considering the venue that they're at more times than not, I can understand that they want to have a small ring.
Right.
But unfortunately, no one's busting out the tape measure for me to really kind of go critical on it. But, yeah, I mean, it loses size. Unless it is much larger than the WWE ring, which I would more than be happy to, like, gamble my condo on.
Yeah.
I mean, if I came out ahead on that bet, I would be more than happy. Unfortunately, I don't think the odds would be in my favor.
Right. That's sad.
But
what I was going to say here, going back to my original point, the average wrestling fan has no idea about Mexican wrestling. They don't know the tradition of the six-sided ring. All they know, probably, is WWE. So they're going to look at a six-sided ring and go, huh? This is stupid.
And even if they...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, no, they're not going to think about it. They're not going to research it. They're just going to turn the channel because they think it's stupid.
Yeah, and even if they saw more than the WWE, again, if they just saw WCW, or even if they've turned off wrestling for a long time and only saw NWA, square or rectangle. You know, it's just always been that way, you know, for American wrestling, period, really. ECW, even.
The only people in America who really care about Mexican wrestling are geeks like us, you know? And we're only a small fraction of the audience. So.
Yep. A lot of people don't seem to get that drift for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure why.
Yep.
So, and then the other thing that, you know, at least with the WWE, they have it on a couple of different networks, so you can kind of say different stuff about them, you know, like, but with TNA staying on Spike, they're still reaching the same number of households.
Yep.
Because I believe USA is on in more households than either Sci-Fi or Spike. You know, they're still, even if they try to go head-to-head with them, they can't possibly pull in the same kind of audience that the WWE does.
Even if by some miracle they become hugely popular, automatically it's not possible.
Yeah, I just can't look at it in, you know, any type of a positive light. Like, maybe, and Bischoff and Hogan have been saying it here now. They've been saying that, you know, they're ready for the WWE to break out, you know, as much ammunition as they can, especially on January the 4th here.
To be honest, they don't have to. They can put together a business-as-usual show and still just kill them in the ratings. So, I mean, maybe they choose to prove a point, but they don't have to. I wouldn't see TNA as a threat right now.
Go ahead.
It's more of a minor nuisance.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I was wondering about is, I didn't know what the rating for the UFC fights was.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't sure if they reached more of an audience than they normally did.
Yes, because Kimbo is a ratings monster.
Anytime
Kimbo fights, the ratings are through the roof. So.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really check on that. I wasn't sure if anybody had posted them. I didn't really see them, but...
Yeah, I saw them on a different message board. Pretty ridiculous how much people like him.
And what did you say the number was? Or did you see a number?
Remember for his first fight, it was a 5.8 rating.
Oh, hot diggity. And did they do the announcement right after his fight? Because he didn't fight the main event.
I don't remember.
Or did you, I wasn't sure if you watched the whole thing or not. I flipped over to it a little bit, but...
It was in the middle of the show sometime.
Okay. Yeah, but, like, I guess they might have been getting a more, a big announcement doing it during a UFC thing, but... You know, I haven't seen any promotion for it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, not to get into a long Raw discussion or anything like that.
Okay, good.
But, but you know, no matter how hokey or anything or how predictable you want to say all the Mark Cuban segments were this past Monday... You know, the WWE has already gotten exposure on ESPN for it.
Yeah.
So, like, their exposure on ESPN is still, you know, more prominent than anything that TNA has done to promote this new show with Hulk Hogan. Well, I guess it's a new show. I mean, whether they use the same name or not, I don't really give a shit. Because it's a different day.
By the way, I'd love to know how they come up with names for the shows. We should do a show on that someday. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, well, and that is, I guess that is the funny thing is they have Impact and then they have Global Impact when they're over in Japan.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just like, why didn't, and I guess that is a half-decent question to address now, why didn't they give it a different name rather than calling it Impact still?
Seriously. Are they going to call this like Monday Night Impact? I don't know.
Oh, man, yeah. Because, I mean, no matter what you think, the brand split, which actually has been fairly well enforced outside of the properly used tag teams. Yeah. There.
Other audio.
Yeah.
I was gonna get going on that,
but you know, it's Raw, ECW, and SmackDown. I mean, there's three different show names, even though it's WWE in front of it. Like, yeah, they really should have came up with a different name. TNA.
I mean, it's fine to admit
Hogan.
It's just admitting it's from the same company, so there's nothing wrong with the WWE tag, as long as you have a different name for it. But Impact and Global Impact, I'm sorry. you can tell me with a straight face that a balloon is a chair, and I'll call it a chair all day long. But at the end of the day, it's still a balloon. At the end of the day, it's still the same name, buddy, you know?
And speaking of names, Hogan keeps on popping up, but did you see the little report today that he backtracked on canning all of the writers?
No.
Yeah.
Oh. I thought he was my friend. Now he's my enemy.
He did say that he wants to reduce them to certain specifics so that the wrestlers can breathe more.
You know what this tells me? That Vince Russo has pictures of everybody. He must have compromising for pictures of just everybody. How the fuck is he so Teflon?
I have no idea. I really don't understand it.
Right.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Just Tom Dixie Carter into showing up on TV, and now he's conning Hulk Hogan into thinking he's actually good at something and deserves some role with the company.
Yeah,
pretty
either that. Or Hogan, you know, Hogan said that he has, like, vast creative control, and that was the only way he was going to come in to TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he doesn't quite have as much vast control as he is stating.
Probably. Because at the end of the day, he's a mark for the paycheck, so... They offered him a lot of money and said, you take that. And he was like, okay.
And I was amused, too, that he had said that he didn't want to just come in and bump the ratings a couple of low digit, or, you know, a couple of decimal points or something like that, and drop a few legs and then have the rating go back down to what it was. I was like,
right.
You're fucking selling, you're trying to sell people on the fact that you can do the leg drop. You can't.
He can barely walk. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm just so disgusted by the whole thing. Like, I really... It's a suicide mission. I mean, they may as well, you know, be committing Harry Carey or pulling off... I'm trying to think of what the... it wasn't Banzai. What the fuck? Kamikaze Pilot.
Yep.
I mean, even in its weakened state, the WWE should be able to shrug this off without much of a problem.
Mm-hmm. If I was running TNA, I would take the Bill Watts approach. If you're not going to compete, be profitable. But, hey, you know, they think that throwing a whole bunch of money at some has-been is the right answer. So, hey, the real winner is Hulk Hogan. The fans certainly don't win.
And another funny remark that Hogan had in a couple of different pieces there was that he had a lot of friends from the WWE calling him about possibly getting a spot in TNA now that they have a Monday night program.
Yeah, I know. Now, I know who he's talking about. Virgil, Hacksaw, Tito Santana, right?
Possibly.
He cannot mean current wrestlers. No one likes that son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, how much contact does he really have with anybody in the WWE at this point? You know, like, any of the established... Yeah, like, any of the established guys, like Triple H or HBK or The Undertaker, or, like, all the guys that wrestled with him on any regular basis that I would think that he would be more in communication with.
I don't think that Hunter and Michaels have anything to do with him.
Well, but, you know, like, why would somebody, and I know that he's Triple H's buddy, but why would somebody like Sheamus really have any dealings with Hulk Hogan? You know, any of the young guys, like, I don't see who would want to jump over.
Right.
And I don't know why they would either. Like, I mean, we've already gone over the bloated TNA roster game. Like, they don't – what room do they have? Like, even if they add the 2 hours on Monday, they still have more than enough wrestlers at this point.
Way too many.
So, like, there just really isn't a point for anybody to go over there.
No. And the only ones that would mean anything are, like, Cena, Orton, Hunter, Michaels. And there's no way. There's no way that any of them are going to jump.
Yeah, they're in way too good of a position to be wanting to jump.
Absolutely.
So
the only jumps that could possibly happen are going to be, like, guys like Shelton Benjamin or something. And it's not going to mean anything.
Yeah, and that was a minor story that I suppose we could squeeze in here, which was Charlie Haas getting
an
extension.
That's why I said Shelton. I'm very smart
about it. Yeah, Charlie Haas got an extension.
Yeah.
And got a pay raise, at least as far as the .NET report went. And, why would the WWE be worried about him jumping over?
They must just like him. Because here's a list of things he's done in the last year. Yeah. So, he has a friend somewhere. Because otherwise he would have been fired. And that's nothing against him. He's fine. But he's outlived his useful shelf life in WWE. You know, very much like love him or hate him, Bob Holly, when he got fired. It was just because he did all he could do in the company. And really, there's nothing else you can do with Charlie Haas. But instead of firing him, you know, this says to me that he's got a friend up there somewhere. You know, maybe Triple H, I don't know.
I wasn't sure if maybe they find him useful to help. I don't really pay attention to dark match results very much, but I'm not sure if he gets out there and wrestles with, a lot of the up-and-coming guys.
That could be.
And get something done in that manner, and that's why they like him, you know, especially with Jamie Noble gone. I would think that you would need somebody like that to go out there and get some stuff done.
I mean, and if they ever did bring back Tough Enough, he would easily be a candidate for coach, you know. I mean, no doubt about it, he would be one of the coaches. So obviously they like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I mean, even if he would have gone over, I think we've, yeah, already kind of pointed this out, like, he really wouldn't have, you know, there isn't much Charlie Haas could have done. Like, he was never that great on the mic. He was good in the ring.
Oh, yeah, good in the ring, and his best use was when he didn't have to talk. He's just not very good at it. And again, nothing against the guy. I'm not trying to beat him up here, but really,
right.
There's not a whole lot you can do with him at this point.
Agreed. So, yeah, this shall be interesting.
He's like 37 now also, which is, for a wrestler,
pretty
old.
He's that old?
What's that?
He's that old?
Yep.
Daggone.
A couple days ago.
I'll be. Well, he's still got a ridiculously hot wife who has a little bit of a screwed-up face, but, you know, I'd take the body, and I wouldn't really be too bothered.
Rock it. At least
oh,
she's not
man.
At least she's not asking.
Oh, well, I don't know. Is there any other small points that we could make on this before moving on here, really?
Well, bottom line, TNA is pretty hopeless. The end.
Okay. I could almost bring this up, but you know how I talked about clicking on Keller's blog about the biggest surprise for TNA? Okay, and it's already been shot down.
What's
Keller,
that?
For some reason, thought that Jim Ross could come to the Impact Zone to announce, and I guess JR has already been asked that question, and it's been answered.
Oh,
and the,
okay.
No, you've got to be a goddamn idiot.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I wish it, Ross was the... I wish Ross was that blunt sometimes, but he says it a little more eloquently than that.
Yeah. I can't wait when he's finally done, because, well, I mean, we've talked about this before, how he's always very corporate about his answers. I can't wait for him to just let loose someday. That would be interesting.
Oh, yeah. That will, I have not bought too many of the biographies. Well, I think the only one I bought actually was Foley's. But if Jim Ross comes out with one, I'll be pre-ordering that sucker if I have the chance. If not, I'll be getting it the first day that it's out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, we can tie a couple of things together with this one, too. The Stunt Granny crew belatedly addressed our good buddy Umaga, Mr. Eddie Fatu,
yes.
Dying at the ripe old age of 36.
Yep.
They are wondering, as is an ESPN article, about how much trauma was done to his brain, along with one Andrew Test Martin.
Yeah.
And,
Don Marie does this thing calculating how many times you're hit on the head or whatever. And I hope she's not talking about herself. But, anywho.
Yeah, no, I think it was, she thought that she had endured more than 50,000 blows to the head.
Right.
Oh, no. 20,000 in about 5 years. And I mean, the impact that she would have gone onto the canvas with, I would say would also have less velocity than what most of the male counterparts would do.
Totally agree.
She's
also taking far fewer shots also. And so it's just a very bizarre thing for her to say.
Yeah. I don't think she really needs to be worried about her self too much, but with her wrestler rescue or whatever exactly the name of her group is there. Yeah, Wrestler's Rescue.
Yes.
I'm not sure how much rescuing she can really do with most of those guys under contract, really.
Well, right. There's not a whole lot of rescuing she can do, period. What the hell ever happened to personal responsibility? Died a fiery death, I guess.
Yeah, that really should not be spoken of anywhere. I mean, that is just so, you know, last century, dude.
I guess. I'm old school. I'm super old school. I apologize.
You know, and one thing that I thought about, and I'm not sure if it helped, but I mean, they always say that a lot of the impact, at least, because they tied this in with the ESPN article, if you didn't read it, tied itself in with concussion-related problems in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I'd always read that even just wearing a mouth guard.
Yes.
Significantly cut down on the trauma to your head because there is just less rattling because a lot of it goes through your jaw.
That's right.
And I would think that maybe this is one of the reasons why someone like Kurt Angle wears one all the time.
I would think so.
I mean, for all the bashing that we do with him, I would suppose that that is the least of things that he could do.
Right, yeah, very smart on his part to do that.
And I do believe, I read Tuesday Morning Quarterback on ESPN's page 2 there, too. He had said that they have a new two-sided mouth guard.
Okay.
That's supposed to reduce concussions even more than a typical mouth guard.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And he said they're only like, I believe it was $8 a pop. It was from an article a couple weeks ago that he did.
Sure.
So I didn't bother to pull it up. What was I going to say? You would think that that would be something fairly easy for them to do.
Yes.
To help cut back on that. Obviously,
yeah.
They're still gonna take those bumps, but it would be something to help out. And I mean, they don't do a whole lot of talking in the ring. Like the only guys that come to mind with doing a lot of talking in the ring are Tyson Kidd.
Yep.
Pops to the top of my head, but. You know, with all the dancing and the jiving and everything they do before all these other moves,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't they be able to pull most of this stuff off by just pulling out the mouth guard temporarily or something like that? Like, obviously,
sure.
They're not going to have a helmet to attach it to so they can just spit it out,
well,
you know, with freedom like an NFL player could do. But,
right,
you know... MVP could pull it out for ball and drop the elbow and pop it right back in or something like that.
Okay. I can see
you
that.
You know, would it be bad for the WWE to do that? Or do you think, you know, to mandate that type of a prevention device? Or, you know, as you point out, they really could go about it of their own free will and just go ahead and pop one in, much like Kurt Angle.
I mean, you know, if I were a wrestler, I would take basic precautions. You know, I just... A lot of this is stuff they should already know, you know? But yet we keep having to hash it out every couple months because somebody else dies, you know? It's getting kind of crazy. But yeah, definitely, if they mandated something, I would not, you know, be against them at all. You know, they tried to save him, you know? But he refused to go to rehab, so, you know, they... Certainly not like they're heartless or anything. They want to save the wrestlers, too. Maybe this is the next step.
They've certainly been doing a better job of trying to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to think that mandating something like that might help them out quite a bit.
I would hire a team to research this.
That was the other amusing thing, is the little he said thing that the WWE says that they weren't ever given the reports, and that the doctor has freely offered them, and they have never come to taken him up on the offer.
Right.
And somehow I think the WWE didn't request them. I'm just blindly speculating on that one. But,
yeah, call me crazy, but I think they can do without. In low minds, anything.
Oh, man. Yeah.
One other point I wanted to raise about this. I saw it on a different message board. I thought it was kind of interesting. A guy wondered if air travel had anything to do with it. Because the wrestlers are traveling by air much more than football players are. And also Chris Candido's death was in part related to airplane travel-related boondoggle. So...
Yeah, one would think that maybe that, and I mean, obviously neither of us are doctors, but that maybe the post-concussion, especially if those guys don't report it, like, you know, at least in the NFL, they could probably arrange for some type of different transport if they so felt the need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The WWE wrestlers, if they don't have to report it to anybody and they just go on their jolly way,
right.
You would think that maybe the air pressure changes might have, you know, some type of effect. I don't know one way or the other what it would do, but, you know, you would think it'd change from what would happen, you know, if they're just traveling, you know, say in a car.
That's right. I mean, that's at least an interesting thought. Another thing worth pursuing for them, to see if there's anything to that.
Yeah, well, I hope they do it, and I hope it was amusing that somebody noted that the TLC pay-per-view is this weekend, so it will be interesting to see how many headshots are...
Yep.
Clean, but really, for the most part, the WWE has done a fairly solid job of getting people to put their hands up. Like, TNA really is more of a problem in that department than the WWE is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree with that.
So, yeah, I mean, I suppose it will be something to, you know, watch this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, we've finished up all of the harsh news, I suppose.
Right, yeah, the heavy stuff.
And this isn't quite as heavy, but a guy that has worked in both the WWE and TNA and is now working for ROH, Mr. Jim Cornette.
Yes. My
had
boy.
A nice little letter printed out on their website this week as an apology to the fans.
Yeah, basically an apology for working with Vince Russo for as long as he has. Apology accepted.
Yeah, I think that sometimes, like, I thought some people were, I think it was it Caldwell here on the Torch? It was kind of harsh on him. Yeah, it was Caldwell.
Oh, well.
I was like, you know, sometimes, you know, you make decisions and you think they're the right ones. And sometimes they don't pan out.
Right.
You know, I may or may not have experience with that. I'm saying that I do.
Yeah.
And considering the whole ex-wife thing. And, you know, maybe when he came, because Vince Russo was not there when Cornette initially came in. Am I not correct?
You are correct. He came in because Russo wasn't a part of it. And when Russo was brought in, he tried to quit and was talked out of it. So,
yeah, to me, that's kind of hard to bust his balls on that, really. You know, maybe he thought that he had enough pull with the company still, that he could still at least overrule Russo sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, he was basically just waiting for them to realize that he's a fucking idiot, fire him, and then maybe they would get somebody who knows what they're doing in there, and he would have more pull, you know? That's pretty much what I think he was doing. And instead of realizing that Russo's a fucking idiot, they rewarded him by bringing in his friend. Basically promoted him.
Yeah, and telling Cornette he's an idiot finally, and letting him get out of Dodge.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, was there anything in particular that caught you, you know, in the article that you wanted to bring out?
Well, it's mostly the stuff that he's been saying in his Who's Slamming Who interviews. Basically just a rehash for anyone who doesn't listen to them. I guess my main point is I really hope ROH is successful. Because I really believe that he believes in it, you know?
Uh-huh.
I hope they give him creative control, and I hope they are successful, because he is, along with Paul Heyman, one of the smartest men in wrestling. And, yeah, I just hope it works for him. I'm glad he's happy. I'm glad he's away from Vince Russo's stupidity, and now we can see what he can do.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because the one passage that, to me, always bugs me a little bit, is, yeah, he talks about how these people always come up to him and say, what is it? Oh, just how there's too much soap opera in wrestling.
No.
And to me, I think, not that I would, you know, it's always one of those things where I was kind of, well, yeah, I straddle a lot of fences. I'll fully admit that. Like, I have a tendency not to go all overboard one way or all overboard the other way.
Sure.
I think that there's always a fine line that you can find between, you know, having some soap opera to help kind of build things up a little bit more than they probably did in the, you know, even in the 80s when I watched.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And certainly less than what they do now. I mean, I don't need three hornswoggle segments every fucking Raw.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm sure that they could do, you know, say one hornswoggle segment every week and I'd be like, okay, you know what? It was there. It was fine.
Fine.
So, I mean, I think that some of that stuff, and I think that was one of those things that kind of bugged me about ROH, and I don't have HD Net, and I don't really watch it online that much. And
okay,
I'm not sure how much.
That's brutal.
Huh?
That show is brutal, man. That is some awful television.
The show on HD Net.
Yeah, it is. Mhm.
Okay. Yeah, I only watched it once when one of my friends has satellite, so she was putting her daughter to bed, so I popped it on and watched it for a little bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, like I think ROH needs a little bit of something more than, you know, I do like their formula. Their wrestling was nothing short of brilliant the times that I've seen them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think if he does get control of that, I wouldn't mind seeing him have a little bit of, you know, little leeway in there so that they can develop characters a little bit more rather than, you know,
right.
Almost just like win, loss, all. Oh.
Here's two
they're
guys
back,
against
they're back
each
out
other.
Here wrestling again.
Here's two guys against each other. Oh. This is a four-way. Oh, here's a tag team match. Well, here's another singles match. You know, that was the old ROH formula. I hope that they can, like you said, develop characters. You know, everyone should, like Colt Cabana's perfect example. He has a developed character and everybody knows what he's about. I can't say that about everybody on the ROH roster. So that is Cornette's job or whoever. Get these people over for me.
Ugh. And, wow, I didn't even think about this. Is there any chance you think that they would talk good old Dutchie into coming on over? Because he did, Cornette did mention him. And I don't know how much of a, you know, it's one of those things where since you have no transparency to the back area, you have no idea
right.
Who to blame for some of this stuff, truly.
That wouldn't be bad to bring Dutch in.
Yep, it sounds less amusing to me than bringing in Bushwhacker Luke. Is he the one still? No, who is in charge over there?
Oh, God, I don't know. Fucking, last I checked, it was, what's that?
I was trying to figure out who did take over after, what's his name left?
After Gabe left?
Yeah, after Gabe left.
Internet darling superhero Gabe Sapolsky? I can't think of his name, but it was the wrestler who everyone called Repo Man. The fuck is his fucking name?
Barry Darso?
No. No, they were saying he looked like Barry Darso.
I don't know. And
it's fucking frustrating that I can't think of his name. That shows how important he is. I'm going to hear the name and be like, oh, yeah, that guy. But it's not important.
Yeah, not really.
Just some schmuck, horrible wrestler.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you keep the basics in mind, you should be able to build a, you know, a decent wrestling company.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So... Yeah, I don't know. Was there anything else that kind of, you know, drew you out about that? I mean, I know we wanted to kind of end it on a positive here, and yeah, I really hope that
he
gets his way in ROH, because I really wouldn't mind. A lot of those wrestlers were really good, and I mean, even some of the guys that the WWE has brought in, you can obviously see the kind of talent that they found.
Absolutely.
Samoa Joe hadn't been completely fucking blown up as a character on TNA, you know. We might have even another competitor in that league that made good from ROH.
Well, his mistake was going to TNA. I mean, you know, hindsight is what it is, but I would have never gone to TNA in the first place. Even if he was a mid-carder in WWE, he would have been easily used better. So that's kind of a judgment call on his part, but I don't think he made the right decision. But,
yep.
Oh well.
Yep, what
and
you gonna do?
The wrestler I'm thinking of is Adam Pearce. Adam
Yes.
Pearce.
Yes. Well, as long as that meant he stopped wrestling, I would be completely fine with that, because of the fine collection of wrestlers, he was not one of them.
No, not at all. Not at all. He brought a whole bunch of not much to the table, so.
Nope. He's another one of those guys, it's like, you do realize that wrestling is your job, right? And that you should stay in shape. I mean, it's your job.
Right.
Am I asking too much here?
Apparently so.
I'm supposed to know about buildings because I'm an architect. That kind of makes sense.
The only exception I would make is somebody like Akeem, who was big and fat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if you're, like, just, like, 5'10" or something, there's no excuse for being fat as well.
Yep. That is a point well taken.
Yep.
You can't get away with it if you're Mabel or Akeem.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, I think that covers it on my end. You seem to have gotten out all your positives. Oh, and yes, I do forgive Jim Cornette, too. Like I said, sometimes, you know, you fuck
hey.
Up sometimes, you know?
You need to have some
forgiveness.
Like I said, he had hope that things would turn around. It wasn't working with McMahon, and it was a steady paycheck. So I can understand his reasons, but now he's going to be much happier, so here's hoping.
All righty. Well, then, take us on out of here, Mr. Giebink.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFranco and Adam Pearce and Barry Darso, this is Dusty Giebink. This has been Stunt Granny Audio. We're going to try to do better next time.